2 hours to go, baby. Halfway through our final show of the work week, and it's been a blur. It's not even football season yet, and it's been really busy. And interestingly enough, we've had more calls about LIV Golf versus the PGA Tour than we have about anything else this year. I, by the way, right now in my hand, have a peach that's larger than a baseball. Jay, look at this. So Jay and I play catch. Usually we only manage it during one commercial break, but we both have our gloves here, and we have both a softball and a baseball, or I do. And so Jay, whenever he gets to pick, picks the baseball. I always pick the softball. I think it's better for your arm. But anyway, right now the baseball has been sitting here on my console because we were playing catch and we were using the softball. So the baseball's been lying around. And I just pulled this peach out of my bag. I got these at the grocery store earlier this week. This peach is bigger than the baseball.
It looks like an elementary school like solar system project. You could build. You got the softball. Oh,
and such a pretty color,
Neptune.
Too.
Neptune.
Could be a planet. Yeah, no doubt.
Looks like Saturn.
Do you think it surprises people to know that we play catch during commercial breaks sometimes?
I don't think it's that shocking if you watch any of our YouTube videos.
What? Oh, meaning like we're weirdos?
No, would it be that shocking? Yeah.
That we play catch? Do we play catch in YouTube videos? What do I miss?
No, I don't know. I'm so confused. I think you're looking a little too into it.
Well, what do you mean, though? Why would people look at our YouTube videos?
Because we do fun things.
Oh, so because we do fun things outside of work, well, then we must be doing fun things during commercial breaks, too.
That's right.
We don't always get to it. Sometimes it's so hectic. Last night it was so hectic that I barely sat down when I wasn't talking on the air. But yes, we do. Well, actually, Jay had to go out and get his glove because he left it in his car. Mine is always in my car because you never know when there might be an opportunity to have a catch. When my brother and my nieces were visiting last week, he and I went down to the local schoolyard in my town and we played catch for a while. It was so much fun, except that he is not very accurate when he throws. So I had to stand in front of a fence because I needed a backstop. Yeah. Anyway, Jay and I play in the hallway. So far, we have not broken a window, though we've had a few errant throws smack right into the walls.
Close calls.
Mostly from Jay.
Mostly from me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty accurate.
Just going to test you on the scoops.
Didn't you say to me, yeah, but not in the hallway.
Anywhere.
No, because when the ball bounces off, say, a dirt infield or grass, it caroms differently and bounces differently than what it does off
practice.
Of a tile floor.
All terrain.
Off a tile floor? No, there's absolutely no reason for me to practice on a tile floor.
You never know.
When we were playing after our last YouTube video, we were playing at a field. I don't mind doing pop-ups and grounders, but not off a tile floor. Somebody could lose a tooth that way. The ball bounces up and you go down to get it and bam, right in your mouth.
Yeah, it could. But
no, thank you. That's not happening. I'm never fielding a grounder from you in the building on the 10th floor with tile at our feet.
We'll see.
Will we? You better watch out if I buzz the tower the next time I get the ball. We'll see how close the ball comes to your head. You know I'm far more accurate than you are.
Yeah, at close range, you'll throw it.
No, I do like to show off and throw it hard so the ball pops in the mitt. That's true.
Even though the shadows in the hallway are horrible, I could barely see it sometimes.
Oh, all right. My goodness. Here's a quarter. Call someone who you know. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. I don't know, Jay, was that whining? Was that like a little bit of like a self-pity kind of whining?
No whining. It was just an observation, you know, just a it was an how it is.
It was an observation?
Yeah, not really an observation,
that you struggle,
just a fact of,
that you struggle to catch the ball?
I do. With the shadows out there, you know, it's got to adjust.
You struggle to catch the ball?
It's the shadows.
Huh. Did you see what like Trey Lance is wearing tonight after the game?
I did not.
I guess technically now most people are on their Friday morning, which generally would be really excited about, but I feel like I didn't sleep yesterday, so it's still my Thursday night. He's wearing bright orange. I love it.
Is there anything like Kyle Kuzma's outfit from a few months ago?
Pink
sweater?
No, it's not anything like that at all, actually. It's a collared shirt, but it was bright orange was my point. And also my point, we don't have any Trey Lance. So that was the other point. Okay, you know I don't give preseason scores because that's against my religion, and they really don't matter. What does matter is development and preparation, and we are into our final round of preseason, and we've got, oh, so much QB news to share with you.
Mahomes fires for the end zone, caught! Touchdown, Kansas City!
Murray back to throw, and it is! Is it caught? Is it caught? Oh my goodness, it's caught! DeAndre Hopkins caught it!
He's got a man wide open, John Brown, he makes the catch! Touchdown, Buffalo! John Brown from Josh Allen!
Well, Lamar Jackson in the shotgun, lob to the five, it is caught! Touchdown, Willie Snead!
Play fake by Russ.
Throws deep, man wide open, it's Lockett, he's in! Touchdown! Seahawks!
Tannehill rolling, throwing. Touchdown! Titans!
Burrow back to pass. Throws into the end zone.
Yeah.
It's intended for Tyler
Boyd. Touchdown!
Touchdown! Yeah. Bengals!
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
It's almost the weekend. We'll call it a football Friday. I hope you don't mind. Woo! Do you know in exactly 2 weeks' time, we'll be breaking down the first game that matters, the first game that counts. But until we get there, we've got preseason action to talk about. Trey Lance leads the Niners' first-team offense to three empty possessions in what is his final preseason before he takes over as the Niners' starting QB.
I wish it was cleaner just from a hole. But I'm not going to make too much of it. You know, we wanted them to get just two drives. I ended up giving them three because I wanted to give them a little bit more there. But there weren't too many opportunities, and we got in some long down and distances, which made it tough.
So you had the Kansas City Chiefs and the Green Bay Packers, and then you had the Niners also playing as well. I know that these games are getting big ratings. Absolutely. That's the part that's so interesting, is that you're getting these games almost as like prime time prep for the crews as well. And so they're getting a little bit of work in too. So Texans were hosting the Niners. The Niners did not score in this game. Again, it's preseason, so what does it matter? They didn't score. Chiefs and Packers didn't score the way that you would expect them to score during the regular season. Patrick Mahomes did not play. He was on the field initially for the tribute to Hall of Famer Len Dawson, who passed away this week. And we did not see Aaron Rodgers, of course. Jordan Love, though, appreciates having him on the sidelines in order to give him counsel and pick his brain.
I think just having everybody there, just having that, you know, camaraderie with the whole team, having those older guys right there, you know, to coach people up when we come to the sideline and whatnot, it definitely helps. But yeah, I don't know what it would be like if they didn't come. So I think it's good to have them there.
I don't think they have an option, do they? Hey, you know what, coach? Well, if you're Tom Brady, you do. You know what, coach? I don't feel like showing up for tonight's game. Do you mind if I just watch on TV from
home?
People
are coming here to play with me.
Jordan Love threw another interception in this preseason game. I mean, he's got a handful of them. But this is all we get to see of Jordan, really. They drafted him in the first round to play in the preseason. And didn't he miss one preseason stretch, too, because he was injured? I think that was last year. Poor guy. This is not going the way that they anticipated.
It's just not
going
to happen, man.
That's right. Aaron Rodgers refuses to retire, just like Tom Brady did in New England, so they had to trade away Jimmy Garoppolo. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Sticking in the NFC North for now, we know the Packers have dominated this division for years, not because of Jordan Love. Now we'll see if any of the also Rams, any of the challengers in that division, can make some noise. There are a lot of people who are on board with the Lions, if for no other reason than Dan Campbell rocks, for no other reason than it's a fun idea to chew on.
That and on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off.
That the Lions would bite kneecaps off, will change their culture, will become a winning team. They fought every game last year, which I think was a good sign. Do they have the talent this year to be able to compete with the top of the NFC North, which is, of course, the Packers? So Dan Campbell right now has Jared Goff not actually excited. That might even be an understatement. About what happens if Goff gets injured. It's Tim Boyle, by the way, who's behind Goff.
I think what we need is we need somebody to really take the reins here. I mean, somebody needs to step up out of the two. And I thought they both progressed last week. Now somebody needs to step up and run this offense, play efficient, play smart, take care of the football, get us the first downs, and when we get down to the red zone, score touchdowns for us.
It's so simple. It was Tim Boyle and David Blau, and Blau started before, but Goff, obviously, if they see him get injured or he gets lost to an injury, like most NFL teams, their aspirations drastically change. Kirk Cousins.
Who says we can't get flexed?
I can get flexed. Kirk Cousins is still the quarterback in Minnesota. It's weird because even though they've got a brand new head coach, it's like nary a peep out of Minneapolis so far this season. And Kirk's got a unique way of keeping perspective, even when there's been a bad practice.
Got a sour taste in my mouth right now off the way practice went, but we did make some plays early. You know, can't forget that. And, the state fair started today, so I got to remind myself of that. My boys are going to want to be going to that, so looking forward to doing that in a few days.
I love the state fair. I try to convince producer Jay we need to go to the New York State Fair just for fun. Do you can imagine the YouTube videos that we would come up with?
It would be great.
At the State Fair.
It'd be a cavalcade.
We could go through the barns with all the animals, which are amazing. And then we could do videos from the top of roller coasters. At fairs, they usually have the big pole in the middle and the chairs that you ride up. And then they suspend you at the very top of the pole and then boom, just drop you. Oh, that is the best. Would you do that?
Absolutely, I would do that. Roller coasters, I would play games, throw the ball, the milk carton.
Oh, see, except that you would not be nearly as accurate as me.
Drill it. Win the big stuffed animal, no doubt.
Okay, we need to go to the New York State Fair. It would be so much fun. And not to mention, they serve cheeseburgers on glazed donuts, and they have fried dough.
I like that.
I knew. See, all I had to say was, like, crazy food. Glazed donut with a cheeseburger on it. I'm telling you, you have not lived until you've eaten that.
How about a fried glazed donut with a cheeseburger on it?
What's the difference? Aren't
crazy?
All donuts fried?
Double fried.
Okay, weirdo.
What's just fried
Why do you have to, like, one-up me when I'm talking about a cheeseburger on a glazed donut?
We can get crazy out here. That's all.
It's pretty crazy to have a cheeseburger on a glazed donut. Okay, back to our QB news. I got derailed by the state fair, but thanks a lot, Kirk Cousins. The NFC South now includes Tom Brady. He's returned from his sabbatical, if you will. This is after he returned from his retirement. And inquiring minds want to know, Todd Bowles, will he play in the last preseason game Saturday?
Everyone that's healthy will play. It's important for game continuity. You know, we have some new guys on the O-line. We have some new guys at receiver, so other than having practice together, we need to see them in the game with certain situations and just the flow of it. No matter how long it is, we just need to see it.
Also, I do admire Todd Bowles and his commitment to this idea that Tom Brady had to have time off. He had to have time off to take his family to the Bahamas because they had pre-booked this vacation back when he was retired. I mean, stop it. And yet he is sticking to his guns that Brady needed to get away.
If it wasn't a situation that we hadn't talked about and wasn't important, I wouldn't have done it. So obviously, I have that kind of relationship, as well do the coaches with a lot of the players, and they all have private things that they come to us with. His just came to light more than the others, and we won't sway away from that. We don't give nobody breaks just to take breaks.
Nope, he went to the Bahamas. I suppose importance is relative. And yes, Tom Brady,
I plead the fifth,
did have a family vacation. We now know that to be true. And maybe he did book it before he came out of retirement. You want to cancel on your family. So I certainly understand that. But let's not pretend like this was some big emergency. Nah.
Of anything.
I know. You don't know things. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. A lot of people.
I don't know things.
A lot of people looking at the Philadelphia Eagles as a team to watch. A dark horse, if you will, after they were an NFC wild card last season. Howie Roseman, is this a, quote, make or break year for QB Jalen Hurts?
We're rooting for him. I mean, we want him to be the guy. And we also want to make sure that he has a chance to be successful. We want to make sure he's protected up front, that our offensive line is strong, and that he has weapons. So we're not sitting there and going, like, this isn't fair to him. So hopefully we've done that, and really excited for the opportunity that we have with him and our team this season.
That's Roseman on CBS Sports HQ. Another team to watch is Miami, if for no other reason than Tyreek Hill keeps talking about how Tua Tagovailoa is the most accurate quarterback in the history of the planet. Well, he's at it again. This time, he just wants you to know that you cannot miss the Dolphins when they're on offense.
Season upcoming, you know it. Everybody's excited, you know, everybody's ready to see the speed, you know, just the, you know, just the guys playing for one another, and everybody's just ready, man. So I'm just here to just say, get your popcorn ready. It's going to be a great season for the Miami Dolphins. The sky's the limit, you know. I've had a chance to, you know, be here since OTAs, and I've had a chance to just watch Tua, you know, sling the football around. And the guy can actually throw the ball, you know, all over the field. You know, and, you know, he has so many weapons, you know, at his disposal.
Get your popcorn ready. We are channeling T.O., but Tyreek, I almost tune him out now. I mean, I get it. He thinks this offense is going to be amazing, but it's almost like he's got to talk to prove it to himself. He's got to keep saying it out loud to prove
it with the most accurate quarterback himself. In the NFL.
All right, in the AFC North, there's a quarterback competition for Pittsburgh. Not so for the Browns. It will be Deshaun Watson's job when he returns for week number 12. For now, it's Jacoby Brissett who will be on the field in the final preseason game for Cleveland.
I think we want to see what we do in the drives that Jacoby's in there. If we feel like he needs more time, if we feel like he needs certain plays, full speed in a game setting, we'll do that. But it's just a constant communication with the coaches to make sure we get what we need.
That's Kevin Stefanski, the Cleveland Browns, of course, without their starting QB, for the 11-game suspension and then the $5 million fine. That was the settlement with the NFL. All right, let's talk about another team that Jacoby Brissett used to QB, and that's the Indianapolis Colts. Man, have they gone through a revolving door at quarterback over the last few years. Think about it. Andrew Luck retired. Jacoby Brissett was the starter. Then they went for Phillip Rivers for a year. They brought in Carson Wentz. He was on and off the field, and now they have Matt Ryan. And I'll be honest, all I hear is raving out of Indy about Matt Ryan and the way that he's changed the culture, brought maturity, obviously experience, and Frank Reich loves it.
Matt's a very methodical and disciplined guy, and that's kind of our approach. You know, just kind of follow his lead, his temperament, his leadership style, the way he plays, the tempo in and out of the huddle, his command. I think we all feel that as an offense. I think the team feels that. And so I think we're just getting started, you know, and I think he's really, now we're getting to the point where I feel like he's got full grasp of the offense, and now we can start nuancing things, and he can start working with receivers and bat. Hey, you know, just on even little things to tighten it up a little bit more.
Staying in the AFC South, Matt Ryan's got all the experience in the world. For Trevor Lawrence, it's just his second year, but he's got a new head coach, one who is also a former QB in the NFL, a lot like Frank Reich. In fact, Frank Reich and Doug Peterson used to work together. They were part of the tandem. Well, they were part of the coaching staff, but they were an offensive tandem that helped to win the Super Bowl for the Eagles a few years ago. And so Trevor Lawrence has got, well, he's talked about the wisdom and the perspective that comes with a head coach who played the position in the NFL, and he's got fresh goals now coming out of training camp.
Individually, you know, I'd say I said it when training camp started, just trying to limit turnovers. I think that's a simple thing, but obviously turnovers, super important. You saw last year, you know, when you turn the ball over a lot, it puts you, it's hard to win games when you turn it over a lot. So that was a big emphasis. And then also just mastering the system, you know, from going from one system to another and not having that, I guess, carry over from year one to year two. I really wanted to master the system and know the ins and outs and feel great about it come week one. And throughout training camp, I really feel like I've done that. And obviously there's more to do, but I feel really comfortable in the system.
Should be interesting to see how Trevor Lawrence elevates his play, not only because he's got a year under his belt, but also because it could have been the worst possible rookie head coach combination in the history of the planet. Okay, maybe that's hyperbole, but it was not a good situation for Trevor Lawrence. Right. Urban Meyer back in the broadcast booth for now. And Trevor Lawrence has got someone who not only speaks his language, but who's got a Super Bowl win on his resume in Peterson. Finally, in the same AFC South division, Ryan Tannehill, who is the Tennessee Titans starter for now. And this will lead us into what we're going to talk about next. But he's actually a huge fan of these practices that feature two different teams on the same field leading into a preseason game.
Oh, it's great work. You know, like I said last week, you know, it's looks and people that you haven't been going against. So you're getting exposed to more defense, more personnel, which is only going to make you better, right? You come out here, compete. Everything's not going to be perfect, but you can learn from the tape. And next time a similar situation comes up, hopefully we can nail it.
Are you going to learn from the tape? Who was responsible for the big brawl when the Rams and Bengals were doing their joint practice thing and actually had to end early? Have you seen the video? There's video. There are photos out there. Aaron Donald taking exception to some of the Bengals and their actions. And so they had to put the kibosh on that because tempers were running high. We'll let you hear what Sean McVay had to say, but also Zach Taylor. We've seen more and more of these. I mean, it's an opportunity to run through your progressions as an offense, to run through your plays as an offense against a defense that doesn't know what's coming. So, yes, there is value in it because you're matching up against people who are actually going to play defense without having any preordained knowledge of what you're about to do. At the same time, we've seen guys get injured and we've seen a bunch of these fights break out too. So we'll talk about that coming up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Give it up for Aaron Donald. What a stud. Everything.
We built the super team. We can bring the super team back. Why not run it back? We could be world champions.
Yeah!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I, for one, am happy that neither Sean McVay nor Aaron Donald walked away following the Rams Super Bowl win, and I'm anxious to get these guys on the field. I understand why the practice skirmishes and fights break out. I get it. Tempers are running hot. These guys are anxious to get on the field. A lot of them are just done with practicing against their own guys. A lot of them are done with practicing altogether. They're just ready to go. I mean, I understand it. At the same time, it would be absolutely tragic if someone, a starter, got hurt and missed an entire season because of some stupid fight in a practice. So there's a fine line you have to walk. You want to be able to try out your offense or try out your defense against a team that doesn't know what's coming, that isn't familiar. There's value in it at top speed without actually having to tackle, blah, blah, blah. But man, I thought the brawls for dog days of summer would be on the diamond, right? Now and then we get bases clearing or benches clearing brawls. But it's seemingly a daily headline in the NFL with these joint practices. And the latest got pretty messy with the Bengals and the Rams, the two teams that met in last year's Super Bowl. Sean McVay about what happened with his team and Cincinnati.
The first thing I would say is we did get a bunch of good work against these guys over 2 days. Missed a little bit at the end. Thing I'm glad about, I don't know exactly what instigated it. I think in some instances, you know, teams are defending each other. And fortunately, my understanding is nobody got hurt and we'll move on from it. It's not going to make a bigger deal than what it is. Not going to look at pointing fingers on who did what. But I think just like Zach would say, I expect our guys to defend their teammates, vice versa. There are certain things you just don't know exactly what occurred. But I am glad that my understanding is nobody got injured. And that's the most important thing.
Just got a little scuffly. And so we just called it. We were in the last period. And we got two really good days of work in, and so was it worth getting the extra couple of plays? No. So we called it up, and we got two good days of work in, and now we'll go play on Saturday.
Yeah, so neither coach seems real concerned, but you do hear Sean McVay mention that it's most important that nobody got hurt, and that's the part that makes me nervous. We had, I don't remember who, was it the Patriots and the, it was Charlotte, right? Or it was Carolina, sorry. It was the Panthers, wasn't it? it was New England and Carolina that were going through joint practices, and they had a couple of brawls break out. I think it wasn't. In fact, Mac Jones is right in the middle of all of that, if I remember correctly. So I understand that there's value in these types of practices because you're working against guys that don't know your schemes. But I always get nervous because you lose one of your starters in a melee or a fight like this. And man, all of a sudden, it just seems like a really stupid idea to have ever done that or taken that risk. But you hear both coaches say there is value in it. Now, in this particular practice where you may have seen the videos, I don't know, Jay, if you want to put up videos or photos on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, Lael Collins is right in the middle of things. Aaron Donald actually has helmets in each hand and he is swinging them around while Collins is throwing punches. I mean, you had players from both teams all over the field just jawing and going at each other. So it really did spill out from just this one play to the two benches and everything else. And you know, neither the team nor the players are going to say much more than that. But because there's media back again, because there's cameras and there's photos everywhere, well, then it becomes something that people are talking about. Let's talk to Jim, who's in Cleveland. He wants to talk about it. Jim, what do you think? Jim has decided that it's not worth talking about at all. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Again, most important is that even though it got scuffly, that's the word that Zach Taylor uses. I like that. It's like snuffly or shuffly.
Scuffly
is the fact that nobody was hurt, and it was essentially these teams kind of taking exception to contact that's a little bit too hard and defending their guys. And you want to get work in. You want to be safe. In case you're wondering, the NFL does not hand down punishments or penalties when it comes to practices. It's up to the teams to police. It's up to the teams to decide if it crosses a line and somebody needs to be, I mean, I can't imagine anyone's going to be punished. That seems ridiculous. You put them out there on a field with these other teams, well, then you're going to have to recognize that these things might happen if there's too much contact. Because remember, they're not supposed to be tackling. They're kind of supposed to be wrapping up. It's more like a flag football type of situation. So that's generally what sparks these conversations or fights. So this was an extreme, and I'm even watching it right now. Again, there's video and photo out there on Twitter. You're not supposed to be tackling if you're a first team defense, or you're facing a first team offense. You're supposed to be essentially ending when the whistle blows and the play is supposed to stop. But this kind of got crazy. I mean, there's a big group of guys in the middle and there's guys punching and shoving, and it really became out of control, which is why they canceled the rest of that practice. But the NFL is not stepping in. The NFL allows teams to practice against one another, to do multiple days of joint practices if that's what they want to do, and recognizing that these things could happen, but the league does not police these. Essentially, it's up to the teams. If they need to impose discipline, it's up to the teams. In this case, the Rams and the Bengals, with the Patriots and the Panthers, and I've never, ever heard of a team punishing or suspending a player, any discipline whatsoever, over a fight in a practice. Now, we've heard of guys getting disciplined when fights break out in their own practices. Steve Smith comes to mind. When guys punch each other in their own practices, because that's not what you want. That's playing with fire. When it comes to these joint practices, though, generally they are just trying to get off the field without everyone, well, with everyone still keeping all of their limbs intact. But I did hear some chatter out of Cleveland about Aaron Donald and why he should.
Donald took it a little too far?
Of course he did, but I don't think that the NFL can step in and start suspending guys or disciplining guys for joint practices. Are you kidding
me? But he can kill somebody by swinging those two helmets, swinging them around like that.
Well, then
that's
his own coach. Okay, well, then his own coach. So Lael Collins was punching people. He was throwing punches.
I think he should. I'm not calling for a suspension, but if he did get suspended for what he did during that practice, I think I'd be okay with it.
Suspend him for what? The preseason game?
For the regular season game.
There's
honestly.
No way. There's no way.
We destroyed Myles Garrett when he did it to Mason
Rudolph.
It wasn't
a game.
It's the same thing.
No, it's
really
not
the same thing.
It's a joint practice.
It's the same idea. He's swinging his helmet to try to kill somebody.
He's not trying to kill anyone, number one. Number two, it's not the same thing as when you are in a game and you know that there are rules about personal conduct and you know about what the referees are looking for and what they're calling. This is a practice. I absolutely agree with the teams policing themselves and the players, them too. They should know the risks of losing someone getting hurt. But to have the NFL police practice is ridiculous.
I just feel like when you're taking helmets and swinging them at another person, on a football field.
Then the Rams should man up and suspend their number one defensive player in the entire world.
I don't think it'd be the worst move.
Oh, I don't think they're going to do it.
No, I don't either, because they don't have to.
Absolutely not. No, of course, that's what I'm saying, though. I do not think the NFL should be stepping in. If you are insisting on practicing against other players, you know this is going to happen. Tempers are going to run hot. You're not supposed to be tackling. Guys get wrapped up and they get frustrated. There's not supposed to be that kind of contact. You know there's a risk here. So if the NFL can't make this a thing, like that's
it's
ridiculous.
It's the swinging of the helmet that I think really is just over the top for
so
me.
So where do you draw the line? So you swing the helmet, but you can't throw a punch.
Yeah, it's very different, I think, to me. I think using the helmet you could kill somebody by hitting them with a helmet. You're not going to kill them by punching them
in the
helmet.
Well, then the Rams should do it. It's not up to the NFL.
No, I get it. You're right. I'm not saying you're wrong. I think Aaron Donald was a little more than just a regular practice fight.
Did he hit anyone?
He sure as hell tried.
But he didn't. So then what's the difference between that and a guy actually punching someone and connecting?
He's not using a helmet. He's using a helmet as a weapon, which is the hardest
object on
the field.
You could still punch someone in the face and cause a concussion.
Sure, but a helmet, if you hit them in the face, is going to kill them or put them in the hospital.
Not necessarily. Did it happen during that game that you referenced? Did someone go to the hospital?
We got lucky. That's all we were talking about was how Mason Rudolph could have died.
Anyway, my point is it's up to the teams. It's not on the NFL to start policing joint practices. That's ridiculous. That's beneath the league. Like, you police yourself. There's some things that you need to man up and just do on your own. So, and until it's all fun and games, till somebody loses your star player, I mean, then of course, these teams might think differently about it. But these are guys that need to be responsible for themselves and for their teammates. All right, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Here on After Hours, we like you as much as you like us.
Hey, what's going on? I love the show. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, enjoying your show, Amy. I'm normally not up to hear you, but you got a hell of a show.
Thank you.
Hi, Amy. I remember talking with you when you very first started on CBS. You're such a superstar.
Amy, thank you for taking my call. First time calling. Listen to your show every morning as I travel into Boston.
First time caller in any sports show ever. So you are kind of taking my sports show virginity right now.
Okay, well, that's not creepy at all.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jay and I differ on joint practices and melees breaking out. I just think if you're going to take that risk and walk that fine line, then it's up to the teams. The NFL cannot be like policing your joint practices. Could you imagine? I played 5 sports in high school. I played college basketball and softball. Could you imagine the NCAA policing our practices? No.
I have no problem with the NFL not policing the practices. It's the fact that Aaron Donald took his helmet off and used it as a weapon, which I think goes beyond a normal skirmish or normal scrum. I mean, that's motivation to
hurt somebody. It wasn't his helmet. Apparently, it was a couple of Cincinnati Bengals
helmets.
That
makes it even worse.
I'm just saying, did he hit anybody?
You saw the video. You saw how his intent to hit people.
Well, but he didn't. Lael Collins was trying to punch people.
If I try to murder somebody, but I don't, I still get intent to murder.
He wasn't trying to murder someone. Either way, the fact is it's not the same as what happened when the Browns game because it's not a game. It's a practice. It's not the same thing. Again, I'm with you. If the Rams want to sit his ass down and be like, dude, don't you ever do that again. You could have hit one of our own guys.
That's not a football play to me. When you
I agree, but it's also not on the NFL to step in. It's your damn practice. Oh, what are they going to do? Go through the tape of every single practice that's taking place?
Just want to. How often do you ever see a guy take his helmet off? We've seen it twice.
That's how do you know it hasn't already happened? There's just no video of it somewhere. It is not on the NFL to go through and watch practices of tape. I mean, tape of practices, excuse me. It's not on the NFL to do that. I just can't. That's ridiculous. These are grown men, and they're practicing for a season. And the NFL is supposed to be policing practice.
When a guy takes off his helmet.
Oh, so that's where you draw the line.
Absolutely, that's where I draw the line.
Okay, so nothing else. Everything else is fine. You can trip a guy. You can cleat a guy. You can punch a guy. But if you take off your helmet and then try to swing it, that's where the NFL steps in.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right.
Grown men. These are grown men. If you want to suspend your defensive player of the year, then go ahead and do it. I mean, that's on the Rams. If the Bengals want to complain.
Shouldn't act like a jackass.
Jay. They were all acting like jackasses. No, that's the point.
One other player tried to hit another player with a helmet.
First of all, you don't know that.
I watched the video.
Yeah, you could see all of it, right? Have you watched every video of every joint practice and every fight that's broken out?
I feel like this when this if this were to happen, a guy would take his helmet off and swing it. It would be viral, just like this Aaron Donald
video. How
do
you know that it didn't happen in a part of practice?
I don't think this video goes viral.
When I speak, will you please let me finish? Thank you. How do you know it hasn't happened in a part of practice where there have been no media?
I feel like it would have been reported on or written about.
If there was no media, how would anybody know? You think the players themselves are going to come out and be like, hey, no.
I mean, so I think we're just going to have to agree to disagree on this one.
Well, considering that it doesn't matter because the NFL's not stepping in, I mean, this is what they do. They allow these teams to police themselves. And the risk is that you can have a guy get injured big time, and that's where the fine line is. You want them to go and be intense, but you absolutely can't mandate how it's going to go, because then you're taking all of the actual edge out of it. But it is a fine line. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Just a couple of minutes before we hit the top of the hour here, but I have been cringing and also fighting my emotions over the accusations that have been made against the Buffalo Bills punter, who's a rookie. And maybe you saw the details or read the details at some point on Thursday. But he and two of his former San Diego State teammates are accused of gang rape of a minor, a 17-year-old. So a lawsuit has been filed in San Diego County Superior Court. And the details are out there. The allegations are made against Matt Araiza and, again, two of his former teammates, that they were at a party that was off campus, and there was a girl who was a high school senior at the time. And according to the lawsuit, Araiza got her inside a room where there were other men. The lawsuit says at least three other men, including the two teammates that are mentioned. And she was raped repeatedly over an hour and a half time, until the party was shut down, presumably by authorities. I almost can't speak the words out loud because the allegations are so disgusting and disturbing. But it is out there in this lawsuit, and the Bills know about it. In case you're wondering, this is a civil lawsuit similar to the types of lawsuits that were filed against Deshaun Watson. Now, he's not accused of rape. He's accused of sexual misconduct, sexual assault. But my point in bringing him up is to say that this is also a civil lawsuit. This is not a criminal complaint. But the Bills know about it. They released a statement Thursday and said, due to the serious nature of the complaint, we conducted a thorough examination of this matter. It's an ongoing civil case. We will have no other comment at this point. The NFL is also aware. And the minor right now, well, she was a minor at the time. She's only named as a Jane Doe. But the lawsuit stipulates that she was in and out of consciousness and only remembers moments where these men were taking turns raping her. There's other details that I am not going to share. But she does indicate that Matt Araiza, the Bills rookie punter, knew she was in high school. And that he gave her a drink. And that there may have been other substances besides alcohol in this drink. So maybe a date rape drug of some sort. So it's disturbing. She did report the rape or the alleged rape to San Diego police. There was an investigation that was opened up, but no arrests made at this point. And this is a civil lawsuit that's been filed. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.